It doesn't matter. I can edit that stuff after it's over anyway. Being a loud laugher is not a bad thing to do or a bad thing to have. I'm here with Rachel Novak. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So thanks for joining me. You know, the like really kind of the whole notion about this show, like the Eddie Knows Fitness podcast, has a lot to do with like health, wellness, fitness, parenting, entrepreneurship, you know, psychology. There's a lot of things that kind of go into this mm-hmm. on people I've talked about in mm-hmm. the past. You know, really, there's a couple things that jumped out and reasons why I wanted to talk to you. And so I remember actually the first time I met you, and you may not remember this, but it would have been like right around the CrossFit Open in 2015. And I got I had heard the name. I had only been a member a few months, and I got a friend request from Rachel Novak. And then like, but either the picture didn't look like you in person, or we got scheduled to do the same heat for an open workout.
Sure.
And, I was like, is that, that's the one with all the kids, right? I kept thinking about that. That's what you were synonymous with. And Phoebe, your youngest, wasn't even born yet.
Right.
So I think you were pregnant with her at the time. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, yeah, that's the one with all the kids. And it's always been like so fascinating to me to see a mom that is capable of being in amazing shape, because it's very difficult to do. And not just because the recovery from having a, going through this 9 month where you have an alien inside of you that's destroying your insides.
Totally. Right? Yep.
But then even just finding the time, and then you have another kid, and all of a sudden I won't call it a burden, but that doubles. Then you have three, and it continues and
compounds every time.
And it seems like it's interesting, because I feel like every kid that you have, you get in better shape.
I agree, actually. That's actually accurate.
So I guess give me some background on you as, because I know that you've been involved in fitness for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think you had like some kind of a business around fitness years and years and years ago.
I did, several years ago.
So I guess like, how did you get into like wanting to have like a very fitness oriented life?
Sure. So, ironically, before I had kids and when Mike and I met, I was not into fitness. I played sports in high school, but it was super half-assed. Like I showed up, I did some weightlifting, you know, I was a catcher and played fast pitch for many years. So I, you know, I did some stuff, but my heart was totally not in it. It was just a hobby.
Sure.
And so when I got out of high school, went into the workforce and did not do anything at all except drink booze and smoke cigarettes. Truly.
I
know.
Wow.
I know.
That's the biggest surprise I've heard on any show is that you smoke cigarettes.
Yep.
Wow.
I was a pack-a-day smoker for several years. And when Mike and I met, you know, that was one of the big things between us, because he was super clean, super fit, like had always been involved in extreme sports. Yeah. And he was like, I'm never dating a smoker. And I was like, well, I'm a smoker, so you're just going to have to deal with it, right? And turns out he did. And, you know, he hated it, every single second of it. But, you know, obviously the person won him over. We found out that we were pregnant right after, like very soon after we got married. We found out we were pregnant with Maya, and excited and nervous because we were still kind of young, but you know, we were ready, you know, and went through the whole pregnancy, totally unhealthy, eating boxes of mac and cheese, PB&Js, and you know, no-bake cookies mm-hmm. basically were my diet.
Yep.
Gained a normal amount of weight, but only by the grace of God that, you know, I didn't become completely obese that time. After I had Maya, she was about 7 or 8 months old. I was just getting into kind of a routine with her, but I still wasn't doing anything fitness wise. Like even taking a walk, you know, I was winded.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was very overweight. I felt totally shitty about myself. Like just kind of lost myself, and that's hard enough. Going from, you know, a woman who feels sexy with her husband to something that, you know, I don't feel sexy anymore, and now I feel fat, and now I don't know who I am because I'm a mom, and am I Rachel or am I a mom, and what, where the hell am I? Like, who am I in this, right? And I remember vividly, it was, Maya was basically exactly 9 months old. It was November 2009, and Mike had just started going back to the gym because we were really busy with our restaurant business at the time. We were just gearing up to open our second location, or just opened our second location. And he was like, well, babe, why don't you just get an online trainer, right? And there was not such a thing 8 years ago, right?
Amazing how much it's all changed.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was not such a thing like you, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't have Eddie Knows Fitness around. So I went on to womenshealth.com, like Women's Health Magazine. And there was like a, you know, virtual trainer basically where they threw you into like these little programs. And I was like, okay, so I just kind of committed to doing this little program and got myself a membership at Bellingham Fitness, which is, you know, way up in Bellingham where we used to live.
Oh, you're from somewhere in the north.
Yeah.
Linden.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Linden.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Right. Grew up in Linden. So we lived in Bellingham at the time. So I started going to the gym every day, and I followed this program exactly. And I'd literally print out little workouts, and it was, you know, all little Bulgarian split squats and bicep curls and
pink weights,
pull down. Oh yeah, pink, like 5'8" You know, like I would hit the tens and think I was lifting real big.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And but I also followed the diet religiously and just kind of made the decision. Like I'm sick of feeling sick. You know, I'm sick of feeling like shit all the time. So I just followed it. And within about 4 months, I lost 40 pounds.
Oh, that's great.
And yeah, and I felt awesome. I felt good again. I felt sexy. I was smaller than I had ever been. Mm-hmm. And then I got pregnant with Teo. went through that whole thing. But through that pregnancy, I kept working out and kept feeling really good. And then when he was born, it was like super motivating for me to want to get back into shape very quickly. So I did, right? And I worked really hard. And then, you know, in between all these times, of course, I'm going back to work and I'm working in the restaurants that we owned at the time, and I'm managing one of the restaurants. And so it was like, I'm up, I'm in the gym at 9 a.m. At that time, that was early in restaurant world. In the gym at 9 a.m., out by 10:30, at work by 11, and then I'm working till 8 or 9 at night.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just kind of maintained it, right? And then I made the decision in 2013 that I wanted this to be something for me. Like I fitness, I was absolutely in love with it. I felt awesome. I've always been somebody who cares about other people and cares about how other people feel about themselves. So I wanted to kind of follow my dream, so to speak, of becoming a trainer. And so I just kind of started looking around, like, where do I start? You know, I could get my, you know, CPT through NASM, which is I ended up doing. But I was actually hired on as kind of an apprentice CrossFit coach at a small CrossFit gym in Mill Creek. So I started there and I shadowed for like 3 months, and then I started coaching there. And it was a super small gym, so the classes never got very big.
Yeah.
But I loved it. And this was my first time even CrossFitting. I hadn't even heard of CrossFit before. Mm-hmm. I like basically became an apprentice coach. And I just, it absolutely struck every chord that I felt like I had found a home.
And you said this was 13?
This is 2013, yep. And so, you know, I coached there for a little over a year. You know, still didn't have the Olympic lifting kind of background, but had found something that really worked and really kept me in shape. And after that, I had a friend go over to the next CrossFit Industrious that I had worked at the time. And so I moved over there for a while, and that was kind of where I really learned CrossFit and like what it was about, and learned great technique and, you know, phenomenal coaching, phenomenal program over there. I didn't coach there, but the adults, but that's when I got into the kids coaching there. So
yeah, so my opinion forever, and maybe it's just because my parents are teachers, but really anybody that teaches kids anything is among the most valuable of the people that are in the world, right? Like, I mean, I've worked in like tech sales, like you've worked in different industries and things like that, and I feel like what we do is sort of peanuts compared to what people that are teaching kids anything, math, whatever. So, you know, getting into the CrossFit Kids program, like, I think it's so cool. Whoever's teaching those classes, whether it be you or somebody else, like, it's awesome to watch. And so I guess, like, you know, what sort of, because I know that's a whole different domain, because they have certifications. Just go and you get an L1, or you go and you get a gymnastics.
Yep.
You can go and you can get kids. And so what are some of the differences that they're teaching you, especially because they tier the age groups a little bit too?
Sure. Yeah.
So I guess talk about some of the differences in training for getting kids to buy into the idea of fitness versus adults.
Absolutely. So, you know, I coached adults for a little over a year in a small CrossFit gym. And then I was fortunate enough to, you know, get the position of, you know, coaching kids at this other gym. And so, that's truly where I connected, you know, kind of mind body connection from what, you know, I had originally wanted to get into fitness for right back in 2009 when my daughter was 9 months old. That's why I had originally done it, was to inspire her, because I was feeling like crap all the time. I couldn't be a good mom when I was feeling bad about myself, right? So that's why I got into fitness in the first place years ago.
Yeah.
So when this opportunity came up, it was kind of like, this is exactly what I want to do. Yeah. Like, I didn't even know it until moment, you know? But to answer your question, so to get into coaching kids, it's like feeling good, like fitness, when I first learned about fitness, it was like, okay, I want to feel good, but I want to look good. Like mm-hmm. that's more important. And that's a lot. Obviously we've got the bodybuilding, you've got all these, you know, competitions that are aesthetically oriented, yep. right? Where CrossFit, I connect to CrossFit because it's functionally oriented. And so, you know, for kids, they don't care what they look like, you know, I mean, not until a certain age,
right.
But that's taught, you know, like teaching them to care what they look like, that's taught. Right?
Yeah.
They see that in society, they see that in magazines, they see that everywhere, right? Plastered all over the place. But if you can show them that doing something functional with your body and feeling strong trumps mm-hmm. the look
yeah.
of things, then you're getting somewhere with that human, yep. right? And that little human can grow up with the mindset of like, okay, I'm like, yeah, my thighs may be a little bit bigger than yours, but they can fucking squat twice yeah. your size, right? Like,
and they can move a couch.
Totally, right? Yeah. right? You know, and so you're teaching kids like mindset, mm-hmm. right? Like your body is capable of stuff that they probably didn't even think about it, right? Until
yep.
they get to pick up those little Oso bars the first time
yeah.
and go, wow, I feel really mm-hmm. strong, right? And that's seeing that and experiencing that, it's absolutely electric. Like
yep.
that's, I can't even get, like, it still gives me goosebumps to this day, honestly, just yeah. like how, you know, watching kids have that reaction when they see how strong they are. It's just, they're so confident and they,
yep.
you know, they walk around so shining,
right? yeah.
just straight out of their faces. I love
yeah.
it.
It reminds me a lot of my daughter, my 3-year-old Zoe is, there's times when she's like scared of her own shadow.
Sure,
like
that's, sure.
and you know, I see some of her friends and like they're, you know, they're leaping off of stuff and like Zoe won't even walk up to the thing those kids are leaping off of a mm-hmm. lot of times. And we put her into gymnastics and she's been doing it for about a month now. And it was amazing. Even just after the first class, we go to this playground, there's a rock wall and like, you know, you go to REI, they've got a rock wall. Yeah. She wouldn't even touch it. And then we went to just one gymnastics class. She goes every Saturday. And then she goes back to the wall on Monday and just climbs up like it's nothing. Like exactly. the confidence, oh my I think, gosh. That little kids yeah. get with that kind of thing. And I think you're right. Like if you compare what the, I mean, we're, it's 2017 now. If we, the world's a very different place as a whole than it was 20 years ago. If you think right. about the late 90s, like, and when I say that, I think a lot of people think about like, you know, the Vegas shooting just happened mm-hmm. and 9/11. There's like all these things that are making the world sort of a worse off place in some sure. ways. But body image stuff, I feel like is getting very much progressively in the right direction. And
I agree,
it's doing
yeah.
it at a very rapid pace.
Yeah.
If you're talking about 2009, I would bet that as a female, you see a lot of differences in how advertising is done or what the ideal image is, or even if there is one anymore. Cause I don't know, to me, and maybe it's because I'm entrenched in fitness, like I don't know if there is a ideal female body image anymore.
Well, you know, I think that there are still stigmas in every facet of the woman body. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? You've got the mom bod and you've got the
tell me what a mom bod is, because I know because I know what the dad bod is.
Okay, I'm not even sure what a mom bod is, to be quite honest with you. There are, I think there are a lot of different interpretations, and I think at the end of the day, a mom bod is whatever it is,
sure.
right? And that's kind of the beauty of, yep. you know, where things are at in our society right now, is that, okay, say you're a mom bod and say you know, something happened and you know, your stomach is a little poochy, or, you know, your butt sags a little bit, whatever, like
yeah.
that's a mom bod, right? Yep. And then if you're a mom who likes fitness and this, then okay, you've got a mom bod, mm-hmm. right? But the stigma is it's definitely still there. And I think that, you know, training people and working with people and seeing confidence is the biggest improvement that has been, you know, from over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Because people don't have to hide anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like you can just be, and you can just claim you as you and just be you, no matter what that is,
yep.
right? Well, you know, some people think that maybe my shoulders are too big, or some people may think that, you know, so-and-so's thighs are too big because they're so strong
yeah.
from CrossFit. You know, whatever. That's fine. There's a stigma on every single thing. But at the end of the day, like confidence, right, is what we see improving.
And your oldest is 8.
Yep.
And girl.
Correct.
So if you think about 2027, 10 years from now, or mm-hmm. let's go a little less. She's a 16 or 17 year old girl. And think about yourself as a 16 or 17 year old girl,
yeah.
which would have put you right around 2002, 2003, probably. I mean, there's a big gap there. Some of the mm-hmm. things maybe that you saw as feminine body image for a teenage girl mm-hmm. at the time mm-hmm. versus what you could foresee happening in another 8 or 9 years. I guess talk yeah. about what you foresee happening and in sort of how that happens. Because, you sure. know, Zoe's 5 years behind, right? So it'll be completely different by then. But what do you see happening?
Yeah. So a couple things for sure that come to mind are like, so when I was a teenager, you know, the midriff was super important, having like a little tight midriff and then the thigh gap, right? It was all about how skinny you yeah. were. Everything mm-hmm. was all about how skinny you were and making sure, you know, your arms didn't touch and you didn't have, you know, that your thighs didn't touch or whatever. And I think, you know, where even where my daughter is now and learning, you know, the confidence thing in that, you know, like girth can be strength, yep. you know what I mean? By the time she's that age, I want her to be proud of those things. I want her to be proud yep. if her thighs touch. And mm-hmm. I want to be proud if she's got like strong shoulders. And I think she will be. And I think that that society, like you've said, has kind of morphed over the last 20 and it will over the next 10 again
yeah.
years to saying like, that's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. That might be the ideal body to have now,
you yeah. know,
which is so different.
Yeah. It makes me wonder like, fashion shows and all this kind of, mm-hmm. you know, all this kind of stuff. Like, I just feel like I just don't see it as often. Like, I don't see the pageants on primetime television like I did yeah. in the late 90s.
Right.
And maybe it's because I watch, you know, less TV now or whatever the case mm-hmm. is. But I think it just genuinely is not out there as much.
Right.
And so I think it's kind of cool to see how that's changing and evolving.
Totally. I think that our culture is slowly evolving to less and less glorification mm-hmm. of, you know, the skinniness or the, you know, because the secret is from, you know, 20 years ago, they didn't tell you this, but those models that you see on the runway, that is not majority.
Yeah.
Right. And yep. that's what everybody thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody thought when I was growing up.
Yep.
And now everybody's like, the secret's kind of out. Mm-hmm. And we're all like, actually, that's like the 2% of the population.
Yeah.
And the rest of us are just normal Joes, right? Yeah. Like just running through our lives.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, coupled with that, like you mentioned, you got it sort of on your first fitness program and nutrition was a part of that.
Totally.
And I didn't want to stop the story. So now we'll go back.
Sure.
Tell me about the first like experiences on thinking about nutrition as a whole. Like what did that mean to you mm-hmm. at the time? Like what was the prescription in the magazine?
Mm-hmm. So the big difference was from how I had eaten forever. Cause I never really was taught how to eat well, mm-hmm. how to fuel my body. So it was kind of like, oh, you eat when you get hungry,
yeah.
but then it doesn't matter what you put in there because you're just really only eating when you're hungry.
Sure.
So you're not training your body, right? It's a totally different mindset. And from the first nutrition program that I followed, it was having me eat, you know, every 2 hours, every 3 hours, just snacks. And mm-hmm. they had to be, you know, protein dense, you know, healthy carbs, healthy fats. And it was this whole different mindset shift of like, oh, like I'm literally just putting food in my body to make it run better,
yep.
you know, and it's not, of course I'm going to enjoy my pizza and I'm going to enjoy a burger and I'm going to enjoy cake or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is on time to time, but knowing that those things are a treat instead of, you know, oh, I'm hungry, I'm just going to eat whatever's in front of me.
Yep.
And that was definitely the biggest wake up call was eating consistently throughout the day and mm-hmm. starting it off in the first thing in the morning. Right. So many people skip breakfast, which everybody kind of knows now in the fitness world, of mm-hmm. course, but you know, skipping breakfast is. It's like the worst thing that you can do.
One thing I've noticed about you versus, I mean, I know so many people that sort of like, let's say that you see them once a month or once every couple of months and their body type sort of does this.
Totally,
it kind of goes in the wave.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're not continually on the up and to the right as you want to see revenues for companies always do. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily see their fitness change in that way, and they go to the gym all the time, so the missing link has to be the nutrition.
Absolutely.
And so like I don't see you with these erratic swings ever in how you look, and so I guess, and I also don't see you talking about changes in nutrition programs all the time. Mm-hmm. I've never seen you talk about I'm going all low carb or I'm going all keto or I'm going all, there is no absolutes. So I guess like what's been your methodology and path to, again, like you sort of discovered fitness right after your first pregnancy, mm-hmm. and then you were very much into it in the second, and then you were very much entrenched in the third.
Yeah.
And so like, how have those needs changed and you know, where do you think people are maybe missing, especially women that go through pregnancies and maybe they have a really, really tough time mm-hmm. getting back on track after the fact? I guess mm-hmm. like what's been your recipe?
Well, I think, you know, it sounds really hard, but, you know, or sorry, it sounds easy, but what's really hard is just having the discipline to stick to it, mm-hmm. you know, because I started off, like I said, I started out with my little challenge thing and then, I'd kind of go off base for a little bit, but I still do. Like, I still enjoy a week of vacation and don't diet, yep. so to speak. I'm doing quotation marks.
I think your second house is in Mexico. So
right, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, pretty sure I will own one in the next 10 years down there. But I mean, the secret really is just like paying attention.
Yep.
Right. Don't. I mean, take a week. Sure, if you need it, take a week off from the gym. Sometimes, you know, you get burnt out mentally, you get burnt out emotionally. You need to focus on other things in your life. There are seasons that yep. happens. But you know, you start feeling your pants get a little tighter, or you start, you know, not being able to, you know, wear the same things or feel as comfortable in your own skin. Okay, notice that. Be conscious of that, right? And then hop back on the bus.
Yeah.
Right? Get back on it.
Yeah.
Don't go buy a bigger pair of pants, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing that people fall into, that they, okay, well, these are feeling a little tight. I'm going to go buy a new, bigger pair of pants.
Yeah.
Well, no, pay attention. Yeah. Is that what you want? Pay attention in your own life.
Right.
You know, pay attention to yourself, because you deserve that, right? You deserve to feel good.
When do you think, what age do you think is okay for kids to start thinking about this stuff?
That can be a tricky question, because I think that it's deceiving to talk to kids about how their body looks. Mm-hmm. And it's a really fine line, having that conversation between, you know, how do you feel,
yep.
right? And how do you feel in your clothes? Do you feel comfortable, mm-hmm. right? I think that's the way that I approach it as a mom,
yeah.
you know, when I talk to my 8-year-old, 8.5-year-old, because she has her own style and she's got her own fashion. She wants to wear these clothes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always say, do you feel pretty?
Yeah.
You know, when she asks me, do I look pretty in this? Or does this look good on me? He's like, do you look, you know, do you feel good?
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about. And just training your mind to pay attention to your own body. Because, mm-hmm. you know, that's, especially with moms, right? We're so unselfish. Our entire lives are about everybody else all the time.
Yep.
Right? And initially, you're trained to feel selfish if you focus on yourself. And mm-hmm. that's why so many moms have, you know, let themselves go, so to speak, even though, you know, not a lot have, but
yep.
that when people say that, oh, I just let myself go because my whole life is about my kids and it's about, you know, keeping care of the house or going to work and, you know, do my job full time. All these other things to focus on. Well, that's great, you know, but making sure that you feel good is going to make everything in your life mm-hmm. more positive.
Yep.
Everything,
yep.
you know, so be a little bit selfish.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Justifying the one hour a day or whatever, mm-hmm. because I think it will upregulate everything else.
100%.
And it might make you move, you know, it's also like, if you think about like the enormous amount of time most people will just blow like scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or YouTube
hours.
Or whatever,
hours.
Whatever the case yes. is, and how much that could be sort of dedicated to something that will be a good investment down the road for yeah. sure. Yeah, and thinking about like kid fitness, I feel like kids' nutrition is something that, again, it is an absolute touchy subject, and I think that a big reason for that is because of the body image component of it. But if it can be spoken to in terms of, like you said, you kind of had an awakening when it was, oh, I'm eating for performance mm-hmm. as opposed to I'm eating for a look, mm-hmm. because it changes the entire game. It's mm-hmm. the exact same thing as like when people go to, like for me, I went to Bally Total Fitness for a long time and mm-hmm. it was like, how good do my delts look? And then,
exactly.
yeah. And then suddenly it became, when I switched to a more of a CrossFit domain, it was like, how much can I push press or how much can right. I strict press? It's the same exercise working the same muscles, but now you're chasing a performance based number.
Right.
And so maybe the secret for kids, especially if kids will hopefully become more active in the next 10 years, 20 years, like the counter is like, we see memes and stuff on Facebook all the time of like, you know, kids used to go out and scrape their knees and ride
sure.
their bikes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
you know, when the sun went down, that's when they went inside.
Now it's all technology.
Right. And now it's all technology. Yeah, so yeah. So if they're inside and they're playing with video games, all this kind of stuff. But I also feel like I'm seeing more things like CrossFit Kids programs and NFL mm-hmm. Play 60. And mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of mm-hmm. programs where I think that it's just sort of untapped. And actually recently, I was telling Adelina, who does she replaced
yeah.
you as the,
oh, yeah.
as the CrossFit Kids director, but she's a school teacher. And yeah. she was talking to me about like vocational opportunities within school districts. And one of the things that I was just looking at like job postings and seeing that, like, so if you recall, we were in high school and you see a health class and you go there and the primary focus of the health class is don't look at a boy because you'll get pregnant. Like that was what health class totally, was, right?
Yeah.
And then you go to PE and it's like, you know, how do you throw this dodgeball, or how do you shoot a basket?
What's your mile time?
Right. It's, you know, it's very like very surface level stuff. But now I would see postings for schools where it's not, I would see a category for PE, but then there's also a category for like fitness and wellness, which is becoming a vocational topic.
That's awesome.
So like what it tells me is that things are certainly moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And if kids are to get more active, it seems like you could teach without it becoming too much of a touchy subject, nutrition for kids.
Totally.
Cause you can start with pretty simple things like, hey, I mean, think about like kids that go to soccer and you're the mom that slices up the oranges and brings them to the post game. Mm-hmm. Like there's a reason for that. I think forever it was just giving kids a snack, but like inherently when I think of that now as like being 15 years entrenched in fitness and wellness and nutrition in particular, to me, what that says is that you're refilling the carbohydrates that you just burned playing the game that you played.
Totally.
And I think like if health and fitness are really going to continue to be a category and something that districts are going to throw money at in the next 10 or 20 years, that there is a place for kids' nutrition.
100%. And I think what it's going to come down to is parents and how you're raising your kids to just be conscious of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said before, all it takes really, again, it sounds so simple, but all it takes to live a healthy life and to raise healthy kids is to be constantly conscious of what you're putting in your body, what's coming into the house, right? When I go grocery shopping, I don't just like throw shit in the cart, right? Oh, kids point at the Oreos. Sure, we'll just get... It's like, no, we are conscious of what comes into my house.
I do that. But it's just with the Oreos because they're so good.
You know, you can be conscious of what you bring into your house because what you bring into your house, you're going to consume.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, we have ice cream in my fridge. Yeah, we have graham... You know, we have got like treats, right, so to speak. But my kids know, look, they have six different options that I've written out for them they can have for breakfast.
Yep.
And they're all protein and healthy carbs, right? I mean, it's, my kids are not, you know, they don't eat broccoli for every meal. Mm-hmm. They eat chicken nuggets and they have mac and cheese once in a while. But, you know, for the most part, training them, like, look, guys, in the morning, we need some, like, serious protein mm-hmm. and we need some carbs.
Yeah.
You got to get your brain, you know, kicked up. No junk carbs, nothing that is sugary, nothing that you're going to have a crash halfway through school and be napping on your desk, right? And just having that conversation in everyday life, every single day, just saying, this has nothing to do with what you look like. This has everything to do with how you feel. This has to do with how your brain functions, mm-hmm. right? Like when you go outside and you're feeling a little bit dizzy and like your throat kind of hurts, maybe come in for some water and a snack.
Yep.
You're dehydrated and hungry, you know? And that's another one too is, you know, if they've been eating, and they're still eating and maybe they're thirsty, you know, like give them some water, right? And just training them constantly saying like, well, okay, drink a cup of water.
Yep.
Tell me if you're still hungry, right? I mean, just... I don't know. I think that's the conversation that I always have with my kids and any kids that have been around. And when I was training kids, it was like, we'd always talk about your favorite kind of snack. Mm-hmm. And I'd always talk to them and try to identify, like, everybody give me an example of a protein, a food with protein in it. Everybody give me an example of a food with carbs in it.
Yeah.
Right? And starting to identify what those things do for you. So protein, that's going to build your muscles. That's mm-hmm. going to make these things really big.
Yeah.
Right? We want those really big.
And so the boys all stand up and they...
Oh yeah. Like, bro, right? Like Captain America's over here. You know, and then carbs, what are carbs going to do? They're going to help you run really fast. Mm-hmm. They're going to give you a lot of energy to do things, right? And just talking to them about what these things do for you, mm-hmm. right? And about how you feel. And people like feeling good. Kids like feeling good. They don't, you know, you don't feel good after binging on, you know, a bag of Cheetos sitting on the couch. You feel like crap and you want to go take a nap, right? But that's not high quality of life. High quality of life is having a big snack and then running out and playing with your friends for an hour, right? So
I'm so thankful that like it's happened the last few mornings, unfortunately, where like, cause I eat so well throughout the day. My vice is like, I have a bowl of like sugary, shitty kid cereal at the end of the night. So like right now in the cupboard I have, or in the pantry, I've got, Cinnamon Pebbles, which is a brand new line. It's like Fruity Pebbles, but it's Cinnamon Pebbles because I'm a sucker for cinnamon. And then I've got Golden Grahams, and then I've got Cookie Crisp, which I haven't even had since I was 7 years old.
I mean, solid choices, honestly.
Yeah. But in the morning for Zoe, when we get up together, and then we go and have breakfast together every morning, and I make her a bowl of Cheerios, and she has an egg, and she has a couple of sausage, mm-hmm. and then she'll have some raspberries.
Perfect.
And she turns around this morning as I'm closing the pantry. She goes, "Dad, what's that?" And I was like, "What's what?" And I keep pointing at the Cheerio box. Mm-hmm. She's like, "No, the other one." And I'm like, "What do you? This is one." And she's like, "No, the yellow one." And I'm like, "Cheerios box is yellow," and I can see that she sees it behind it, and it's Golden Grahams. Right. But you know that kid eats great. And she also doesn't, they tell me at school, like how good of an eater she is. Which I don't know, like you talked about kids are eating and eating and eating. Maybe they're dehydrated. Like Zoe also has like a half of a Camelback, like an 8 or a 10 ounce water in sure. the morning too. But I just feel like, it's been so important to me. I had the quote, like when Jenny was pregnant, I was like, there's not a thing that is more important to me than my kid having a good outlook on nutrition. Mm-hmm. And so thankfully, like I've pounded this in her brain for 3 years, mm-hmm. Zoe's, is mm-hmm. that, there's no two car. I mean, aside from ice cream, there's no two carbs that she loves more than sweet potatoes and rice. Like that's her thing. Mm-hmm. Which yeah, I think it's among the most important things for kids for sure.
Yeah.
So I want to switch gears, sort of. Okay. So one of the important things, you know, we talked earlier about like, you know, finding the balance. It's like how, as a you know, a working mom, an entrepreneur. You're in the gym. I would see you roll into the gym, like literally, like, you know, the two older kids are running ahead of you and you're carrying the smallest one. And then you're getting in a fitness class and they're all playing and then they're doing the fitness class after you're done with yours. And it just always like, it seems so chaotic and so madness. That's what life is about. Totally. Somehow like you've made this work so well. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've really admired about you for a long time is like the ability to take a risk. Like so many people live lives out of fear. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't change my career. I can't, you know, I can't even change my nutrition, right? Like if I'm on a ketogenic diet, if I have this beer with my buddy, I, you know, it's going to blow up the whole thing. Like people are just so
cautious
about everything. So I guess, you know, expand or talk a little bit about just in your life. I mean, cause I've only known you for 3 years, but, I'm sure that there were risks that were taken years ago. Like when did that start? Like, was it like as a teenager, I'm not afraid to take risks. And sometimes it's like you're going all in on a particular topic to learn about in school because you care about it. Like you are all in. And then you've learned everything and you're kind of like, maybe that's not that cool anymore and I can mm-hmm. bounce off to something else. Like
I think part of it is personality. I think part of it is that, you know, I love a challenge, right? And I love challenging myself mentally and now physically, obviously with CrossFit and lifting. But the ability to, you know, take on something and take a risk is really just not necessarily being afraid to fail, yep. you know, or maybe you are afraid to fail. Cause I know there are times that I'm totally afraid to fail and I do things, I'm staring, you know, fear right in the face a lot of days, doing things that are way outside my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But I know, and now from experience that, you know, that's where the magic happens, yep. you know, like that's where you grow as a person. And, you know, my husband is a huge driver of the risk, so mm-hmm. to speak, in my life, you know, and he's just got this phenomenal outlook on life that like, you know, we can make anything work.
Well, he's doing Facebook Live videos at 7 a.m. from a cardio machine.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Dude is the most driven person I've literally ever met in my entire mm-hmm. life. And he kind of brings out that side of me that is brave, you know. Yeah. I think before I've never been afraid to go against the grain. I've never been afraid of, you know, what people think of me ever. That's it, and not because I'm anything special, but just because I'm me. And
yeah.
that's, you know, I'm just always been me and that's how I've lived my life.
Yeah.
You know, there have been times and dips, you know, in like I was saying, in self-esteem right after I had Maya, right? There's been times in my life that I've dealt with that and had those feelings and had my lows. And now, you know, crawling out of that a couple of times, you know, throughout the last couple of decades, I know like the crawling out part is the hardest, mm-hmm. right? Like taking those first couple of steps and finding something to grab and not really knowing if there is something to grab out of that deep pit or whatever rut you're stuck in. That's the hardest part,
yeah.
right? Once you get some momentum going and you're like, okay, oh, this feels better. I feel better, right? So, you know, when it comes to, you know, changing your diet plan or, you know, jumping into, you know, working with you at Endo's Fitness or whatever it is, it's like the risk is only so big as what you make it in mm-hmm. your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I always think now, like what's the absolute worst that can happen? Can I survive that?
Yep.
If the answer is yes, which of course it always is yes, team.
Yeah.
It's yeah. always yes. You can survive yeah. it. Then do it.
Yeah.
You know, fucking buck up and do it.
Yeah.
Like that's life. This, you know, I'm already 31 and a half years old
mm-hmm.
and I look back, I'm like, where, like the last decade flew by.
Yep.
Right. I'm not wasting any of this.
Yep.
Right. If I literally only have 70 years hopefully mm-hmm. on this earth left, like I'm going to make the most of every single year.
Yeah.
And that means making the most of every month, every week, every day, every minute. Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that I have this, I've always been called kind of an old soul, you know, I've always kind of considered myself one and known that, like, you know, looking ahead, like, again, like what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Will I survive it? Yes. Okay. Well, yeah, let's do this. Right.
It's a great message. As far as like, cause again, like taking risks ultimately at some point, like most of the time it will pay off. Sure. Sometimes it will not. And you'll encounter incredibly stressful events. Yep. And as you know, I'm a big, not just an admirer, but an obsessor with like this whole idea of like, you know, emotions play so heavy into issues that you may have physically, whether it's, right. you know, you have headaches or whether you have stomach problems or right. back pain or, you know, whatever the case is. I guess like think about maybe a couple of times in your life where times have been extremely stressful. This could right. be anything. And a physical symptom has manifested itself to where you can think back now as a 31 and a half year old woman and say, yeah, I felt that way at the time physically, probably because of what was going on in my life.
Sure. You know, there were times, especially when we owned the restaurant company, mm-hmm. We owned it for almost 10 years. And, you know, there were times that I think the longest week that I ever clocked was 107 hours or 108 hours on the clock. It was just in 7 days, you know, it was just a bananas, just yeah. crazy. And
did you ask your boss for overtime pay?
You know what? That bastard did not give me overtime pay. but you know, how it comes out for me is just that, how do I say it? Like an utter exhaustion, mm-hmm. like a to the bones exhaustion where, you know, I'll be running on a treadmill and all of a sudden I've got a squeaky knee, yeah. right? Or I've got knee pain or I've got, you know, joints was always kind of one for me. My shoulder, my wrist, right? I've kind of had issues throughout the years with these things and I'll see them flare up in times of a lot of stress,
yep.
right? And I'm not thinking about that. And I'm not thinking about the actual stress that's in my life, but I'll have a little thing pop up and a little injury pop up and be like,
what did I do to my shoulder?
Yeah, what did I do to my shoulder? Why is it screaming at me mm-hmm. when I'm trying to do a push press, whatever? Yeah. And then, you know, like you said, you kind of analyze your life and it's like, oh, I've got this and this and this that are stressing me to the max.
Yeah.
And, you know, that totally happens. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of overcoming that is, okay, recognizing it, right? That, okay, an injury is here, but is it an injury or is it something deeper,
yep.
right? And realizing like you have, right? You've been through it recently. Realizing that if there's a bigger stressor happening, that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And whether that's, you know, for me, that was me getting out of the restaurant industry. That mm-hmm. was me not managing our store anymore and getting into CrossFit coaching, which yeah. is what I really loved. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling yeah. healthy. I'm getting more fit, you know, and not just because it's in the fitness industry, but because I'm happy,
yep.
right? And the stresses of what I was dealing with in that particular job at the time were gone,
yeah.
right? So to speak, I dealt with them. I faced them, right? I took that risk to leave and to move into, you know, an area of life that made me happy and
yeah.
took away that stress level.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, we're kind of hitting the end here sure. of the time that I had allotted. So I guess, like, is there anything else in closing or any sort of messaging? Again, like, I think that the most power that you sort of bring to the table as a human and what I see is, like, this very driven, capable mom who somehow has done the balancing act of a few different things. I guess there is one more thing. So, you know, decompression of, you know, you've had a long day and it's just mm-hmm. like what's two things and fitness can be one of them if that's cheating, but, that's why I'm saying two and not one.
Sure.
What are a couple of things like that you do to just and this can be, you know, if it's a glass of wine, it's a glass of wine, but
yeah, like, I mean, usually it's a glass
yeah.
of wine.
but a couple of things where it's like, God, the last week has just been so yeah. rough. I just need to chill out.
Yeah. So I have a lot of those days. I mean, I've been self-employed for a really long time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, barring the part-time coaching that I was able to do. So my mind, it never shuts off. When you're an entrepreneur and when you're running your own business, it literally never shuts off.
Yeah.
You dream about your work. You think about it as you're going to bed. You're making lists in your head going to work. So, you know, a couple things is that I do. I've created routines for myself, right? Mm-hmm. So in the morning, I'm checking my calendar. I'm making lists for the day. And before I go to bed, I always have, you know, my phone next to me so I can make a list on it and get that stuff out of my head, right? Stop thinking about the list. Put the list down so that I know that it's there so I can let it go,
yep.
right? And think about it the next morning. If after a long week, quite honestly, it's usually either a silver bullet or a glass of wine, you know, a glass of red.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, not to a numbing, you know, mm-hmm. point whatsoever. It's literally like two,
yeah.
maybe. But conversation with my husband, you know, talking to my kids about their day, talking. I'm very much an external processor. So I'm somebody who, after a long week or a lot of shit that happened that week or shit hit the fan, whatever happened that I need to decompress from, talking about it helps me.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually sitting down and or going out to dinner and keeping the kids occupied with their coloring stuff and just talking about it, it helps me a lot.
You know, it's so cool that you say that because, you know, so much of this stuff like just has to do with like the whole idea of stress or anxiety or emotions having a negative impact on you physically is repression. So right. like you find something incredibly upsetting, like, you know, a family member made you really upset or something, and you just sort of push it down, mm-hmm. push it down.
Yeah, or like, sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, like you had a terrible breakup when you were 16 and you know, the guy was such a jerk and he hit you and stuff, and you never told anybody, you never talked about it, and you just try and not even think about it. Again, you're just shoving it away. The problem with that is like 10 years later, anytime that you walk down the street and you see a guy that looks like that guy,
and
your wrists and your shoulders start hurting. Absolutely. Like that's where the connection really
Absolutely.
Is. So I think it's super cool to have all that stuff. So anyway, that's it. Thank you, Rachel, for your time.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.